Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody jump!
It's a Monday. It's Taz and the Moose with you right here, CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live, Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Hopefully everyone out there had themselves a wonderful weekend. You got Mike and Pete across the way, Bogish, with your updates as we take you for the next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius at XM 206, that app as well. Lot to get into, Taz, as we roll for the next 3 hours. There's no doubt about it. With all the divisional matchups and the championship Sunday matchups are now set. What's going on, bro?
All good, Moose. All good. Hope everything was great for you on the weekend. We had a lot of football to watch for sure. And we got that old Final Four now in the NFL. So it's all coming together. And there are some stinkers this weekend, let's be honest.
Games were not great. Yeah. I mean, overall, the games were not great. And the idea that, you know, it was, as you and I discussed and agreed, there was a wide open, specifically AFC, and playoffs on the whole, it didn't play out that way. All the teams that had bye weeks, the top four seeds, the top two seeds in each respective conference, march on to Championship Sunday, as it will be the Saints hosting the Rams, a rematch of a game that we saw in the regular season that went 45-35 and went New Orleans' way, and it'll be the Kansas City Chiefs now hosting the New England Patriots, the top two seeds in the AFC, a game that went the Pats' way up in Foxborough over Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're going to see a rematch of what were two very, very interesting, exciting, and good football games in the regular season here on Championship Sunday. But the teams that had bye weeks that earned it with dominant and very good regular seasons, Taz, march on to Championship Sunday. And even though we both agreed, hey, it was all wide open, everyone's got a shot, anybody, yeah, anything can happen in this postseason. Not necessarily the case, as we saw over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, we'll jump into all that. But I want to just say, as you kind of touched on, all four of these teams, from the Rams, the Saints, the Pats, to the Chiefs, super high-octane offensive, right? I mean, the offenses are just unbelievable, man. So there's going to be some points scored in the conference championship game.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, you never know when games and when games take place, but certainly the strengths of the teams are all offense. Rams, Chiefs, the Saints, and the New England Patriots. Those are, to play to your point, Taz, that side of the football, that area, their team is the reason why they're playing on Championship Sunday and 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl down in Atlanta. So, yeah, that's fair. And, you know, let's start with the game this morning that actually was entertaining and interesting, because, and that is the last game on the slate down in New Orleans, as the Saints hold on and survive against the Philadelphia Eagles. They come back from 14-0 down, score 20 unanswered points, miss a field goal late, which would have made it a two-score game by Lutz, who's been fantastic this year for Sean Payton in New Orleans. Misses a 52-yard field goal and pulls it a little bit. The Philadelphia Eagles take over, and they're marching down the field, Taz. And at that stage, I thought, without a shadow of a doubt, Foles and the Eagles are going in.
Yeah.
The Saints are back on their heels. You get the 15-yard roughing the passer penalty as well. They are well within, they're in the inside the, you know, the 20, inside the 30 yard line in New Orleans, as the, we're approaching the 2 minute warning. And I'll say it at the time, because I'm watching the game yesterday at, had an appearance at Resorts, and as that clock is winding down, I thought at that stage, get to the 2 minute warning, take a little bit of a breath.
Right.
And then attack afterward. Because at that stage, Taz, I not only, for the Philadelphia Eagles, I wanted to get greedy there. I wanted to make sure that I scored a touchdown, but I also didn't want to score too quickly to give the Saints an opportunity
some time,
to get themselves into field goal range.
Drew Brees would be, of course, that's That's Breeze.
Well, that's Breeze, and that Saint and that Eagles defense was absolutely exhausted at that stage. They played the majority of the last three quarters of that game. I thought basically I was watching the Eagles defense and the Saints offense on the field for the last three quarters of that game. So I thought you get to the 2-minute warning, take a breath, attack the Saints after that. Remember, you want to try and use your clock. They get a playoff. Now, you look at Alshon Jeffrey now, we know, playing with broken ribs.
Right.
Maybe he's looking at the linebacker that's about to light him up and takes his eyes off the football. He's got an unbelievable set of hands. You feel bad for him.
Yeah,
the ball
of
goes
course.
Right through his hands, picked off by Lattimore on the deflection. He goes down.
That's basically it.
Right. The Saints generate one first down on the ground with Alvin Kamara running it, and that's it. One kneel down later, and the game is over. As the Eagles' thoughts of repeating as Super Bowl champs come to an end, and the Saints march on with what is a very, very tough, hard-fought victory yesterday against the defending champs.
Sure was. And I got to say, I think you got to, you know, as a football supporter, football fan, or if you're out there and you're a former football player or football coach, you got to tip your cap to all those players, but namely Fletcher Cox, because he played his rear end off, and he was hurt a good amount in and out of that game. He was dealing with his foot-ankle thing going on. He couldn't go 100%, but when he was in there, for most of the time, he made a difference, a big difference.
I mean, he's great.
Yeah, awesome, awesome defensive tackle he is. But I do think, Moose, the Saints were able to capitalize for times where he was either in the tent or the locker room dealing with that issue. So he, you know, that I'm just saying, I've always liked Fletcher Cox as a player, but watched him yesterday. He kept battling back and dealing with pain to come back and play. I mean, a lot of guys do that. It's not just him. I know that, but it just jumped out to me yesterday. So I just wanted to kind of shout him out.
Yeah,
you know, because it was impressive. You know,
yeah. Well, Foles wasn't 100%.
He wasn't.
You know, and I mentioned Alshon Jeffrey's playing with broken ribs,
right.
Which is a difficult thing. It's difficult to get through a day with broken ribs, much less go play a football
game.
Can't
breathe.
With broken ribs. So, I mean, that's you're right about Fletcher Cox, but when he was, you know, the Saints, and he is a disruptive force, though, Taz, but,
yes.
You know, I thought a couple turning points. I thought, number one, 14-0 lead for Philadelphia. We go to the second quarter here. Eagles are driving. They have the ball basically right around midfield. And Foles goes over the top trying to find Ertz and underthrows him from probably about 3 or 4 yards.
Yeah.
Lattimore intercepts the football. The Saints take over. On that ensuing possession by New Orleans, they have a fourth and I would say 3/4 yard or 1 yard. And we've seen it. We saw it with the Saints-Giant game. We saw it in the Saints-Bucks game earlier in this season. You know, a special teams play kind of changes the momentum for New Orleans. They call a fake punt, and I thought at that stage I could clearly see maybe a fake punt coming. I was surprised that the Eagles
weren't ready for it.
Taysom
Hill was right in the middle,
right?
Number 7, sitting right there.
I was sitting with Landetta yesterday, he said, listen, if you look at the alignment for Philadelphia, look at where Hill is standing when
exactly.
That ball's about to get snapped. That is not usually where the up back is standing when you're going to do a normal punt. So they should have noticed that at that stage and noticed that a fake was on. He easily picks it. I think he gains 4 or 5 yards on the fake punt. The first down, they drive down the field and score a touchdown. I thought that set of plays, because even if the Eagles just generate, the Saints were back on the heels before the Foles interception, even if they just get a field goal and it's 17-0, you get the interception, then you get the fake punt on the Saints' drive. They score a touchdown. That really changed everything in that football game.
It was new life. It was new life for the black and gold. The Saints had new life on that fake punt earlier, you know, in that second quarter there by Taysom Hill. And I agree. I mean, what you're saying and what Landetta said, for sure. You could tell. I mean, you know, you didn't have to be a special teams NFL player to see it. It was, like, so obvious. And how the Eagles defense, someone either didn't call timeout or just something or make an adjustment, I was surprised, especially, look, the narrative with the Saints all year in regards to this guy Hill. He's been this kind of juggernaut, surprise type of spark plug player who can play 5.6 billion positions. Slightly exaggerating, but you get my drift.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But so they've utilized him as like that you know,
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. Thank you. Perfect. And that's what he's been. So, you know, you see him sitting there and you got to figure, all right, well, this jacked up guy that's got a quarterback's number, but looks like, you know, Drew Brees is spending a lot more time in the gym than Drew, and he's a little younger. He's built like kind of a quasi linebacker, could run like a running back, yeah, and could throw like a quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's get a body on him and let's call timeout, something, because this is going to be a fake. And the Eagles didn't pick it up.
No, they did not. And that changed the complexion of the game early on. And even with all that being said, as the Eagles were getting dominated, their defense was, and the Saints were able to make some adjustments. I heard a comment from Taysom Hill after the game saying that they made some adjustments. They realized the 2 and 3 deep zone that the Eagles were playing at time, and they realized that if they adjusted and tweaked offensively some of the stuff that they were doing in their routes, that they were going to be able to take advantage of it. And then they go in that third quarter after the quick possession by the Eagles to start the second half, Taz. It's a 14-10 game now. Ooh. And they go on an 18-play, 11-minute and change drive, which milks basically the entire third quarter, and ends up with a Michael Thomas touchdown grab, in which how many times do you see the Saints get backed up and they pick it up, whether it's 3rd and 12, 2nd and 20, and they're able to gain a big first down over the middle to Michael Thomas. It was remarkable. Yeah. They had holding calls, and they were – every time they got pushed back, they continued. They had a big pass play right after that. So that drive, you know, I thought maybe at the time broke the spirit of the Eagles, but there was Philadelphia late in the game with once again catching a break. And I thought at that stage, St. Nick and the Eagles are going in. It's going to continue. They're going to be playing in the NFC Championship game. And Taz, I said this yesterday, and we said, I thought if they beat the Saints, we said it last week, I thought if they beat the Saints, that the Eagles could get themselves back to a Super Bowl, because I think they could beat the Rams on the road in Los Angeles. And it was all right there, and it goes through Jeffrey's hands, and the Saints were able to garner the interception.
Felt horrible for him, man.
Terrible.
And, you know, I'm a believer in the play. The game never comes down to one play. Like, you know, you can't blame him.
No, I'm not blaming him.
No, I know you're not. I'm just saying, in general, some people might. Like, Eagle fans might really be really mad at him. But the thing is, like, I do think, and you kind of touched on it a few seconds ago, defensively, the Saints, you know, because they were getting smoked early on. I mean, that Nick Foles looked unbelievable.
Oh.
But Dennis Allen, the DC of the Saints, and Sean Payton, they deserve a ton of credit. They made some adjustments here, and they made them quick. Whatever the hell was going on, they saw it, and they made those adjustments. They made them very quick. And defensive for the Saints, it started to click for them definitely in the second quarter.
Yeah, they started getting after the quarterback. Cam Jordan said as much afterward, felt good and was proud of his guys up front. Remember, they did it without Sheldon Rankin, too, who left the game with a torn Achilles tendon. The talented, the all-pro guard, Brooks for the Eagles, also tore his Achilles tendon, too. And both of those guys, I mean, right. So both of those guys are going to miss at least part of the 2019 regular season as they get themselves back, which is a shame when you think about it. But you could tell when they went down that they knew it was a pretty serious injury. They don't always have to be pretty. And clearly it was a very, very entertaining game. The one thing I'd say, if I was a Saints fan, I wake up on this Monday morning, I got a defense that got a little bit of backbone. They've gotten better as this season's gone along. You mentioned the brilliant play calling of Dennis Allen. And I've got playmakers at every level. We know what they are offensively. How good was Michael Thomas? We know how good Kamara and Ingram are, and how brilliant Drew Brees is. They were down 14-0 early, Taz, against the defending champs. And you know we're not going to go anywhere. And we're clearly ticked off by the way that the Saints ran up the score on them in the regular season. So they had a little bit of an extra edge to them. They came out and played well, unfortunately for them, after that start. They kind of fizzled offensively, had a chance late, and unfortunately had the deflected interception.
And the Eagles did come out, like you said, on fire, man. First play of the game, and Brees gets picked off, which is rare you see. By
that
LeBlanc.
Was an underthrown ball. He had Ginn wide open.
He did. But the guy LeBlanc made a hell of a play.
He did.
That kid actually, that D-back had a hell of a game for the Eagles. He played really well the rest of the game, too. But that was a hell of a catch he made, but it was underthrown. You're right. And the Eagles' offensive line early in the game, dude, it was complete domination of that defensive line of the Saints. That O-line for the Eagles was controlling the line of scrimmage big time. And then, like I said, man, there was adjustments made defensively for New Orleans, and things changed. And from that second quarter on, they were just donuts put on a scoreboard by Philadelphia. So good job by that defense, man, for sure.
Yeah, and Brees, who's 39, going to be 40 years of age this week, Taz. There were a couple of those throws where I thought Drew Brees looked older.
Yeah. I agree.
There were a couple throws that usually he puts right on the guys that he underthrew by 4 or 5 yards, and usually you didn't see that. And I thought if Foles played a little bit better, there were throws for him to make, Taz. His touch throws yesterday were awful. When he was trying to arc it to guys, was just terrible. He was great early, but I didn't think he played particularly well. But I thought Breeze at times yesterday looked like a 39-year-old quarterback.
So what's the line? So I think I picked the Eagles in this. You picked the Saints, but I took the
it was eight. Eight. The spread was 8.
And I just wanted to make sure I knew what the spread was.
What?
Nah, I was just saying.
You picked the Saints to win.
No, but I took the Eagles because it's
the
points.
Cover. Yeah, yeah, I cover. Know. Right. Yeah.
What'd you do on that game?
I didn't play the game.
No. When we did our picks, I'm saying.
I just told you I took the Saints.
Oh, you took the Saints. Yeah, and I took the Eagles. Yeah, I got confused what you said.
Yeah.
I need more coffee.
Your Colts pick.
Well, no, let's not.
And that Colts offensive line, which got their ass kicked on Saturday. Why don't we get to that?
Sir, your inflection, your timing is perfect. You go, we'll get to your Colts pick.
Yeah, nice. we'll get to that.
That's right.
If you're gonna judge the man based on a dopey football pick. If that's what you're gonna do.
I'll tell you this,
that Colts offensive line got their rear end kicked.
I don't know what happened.
And that was a curb stop.
I don't know what happened last week. I gotta be honest.
That was a curb stopping.
You are not wrong though.
On Saturday afternoon in Kansas City.
You are not wrong.
There was one team that came to play. And that was the Chiefs defensive line.
Yeah, they were flying around, dude. And it was snowing. It was cold.
We'll get into that game. We got plenty of time. There's not much to get into. I mean, it was.
Yeah, but I have an explanation behind my pick. And so it's okay.
There's no explanation. I guess that was a butt whooping.
Listen. Everybody, listen.
That was a butt whooping. It's all right.
No, it was. But I'm just going to go back to the Saints Eagles.
I'm
just saying. I said it. Eight's a lot of points.
You did. You were right.
Everybody and their mother, including my broadcast colleague.
You were right. I was wrong on that.
I was right now. For now.
Lutz hits that field goal, I cover.
Right. True. And if my aunt had, she'd be my uncle.
I understand, but you're right. But I also,
I didn't
guarantee it. Someone guaranteed here saying, oh, that Colts offensive line's too good. They're going to dominate up front. The Chiefs defense is terrible.
I put out the tweet. I ate the crow. I put out the tweet.
As I watched on Saturday.
Nobody cares.
Colts offensive line.
What happened? Oh, my God.
They didn't come to play. Quinn Nelson, who?
Yeah, I know, right?
Walking around with a tank top on in the cold. Chris Jones basically walked all over him.
He got smoked. Bad.
But, yes, congratulations. Hell of a pick, Taz.
Weisenheimer.
No, it's a good selection. That's a good pick. Eagles plus the points. You're right.
It was.
Taz.
Good pick. Nice pick.
It was a good pick. I had a couple of good picks. Not the Colts, but they had a good pick on the other ones.
Yeah, there you go. Very nice.
It was your charge pick.
855-212-4CBS, your number to call. It's Taz and the Moose. We'll continue to break down all the divisional round weekend games. As the Eagles season is over, the Saints march on down to New Orleans. We'll get to the Chiefs and the Colts game. Certainly Rams and Cowboys and the Patriots basically slapping everybody across the face and saying, we are still here. For an 8th straight year, they're going to be playing in the conference championship game. That is absolutely remarkable. It really is. We'll get into that game. And the fraudulent Chargers. I'll never believe in them again. I was dead wrong on that team. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, doing more. Brought to you by the Home Depot. Next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about Steph Curry, the MVP guard? Scored 48 points, including 11 of 19 from deep to lift the Warriors to a 119-114 win over the Mavericks down in Dallas. So certainly Steph Curry
is doing
more. We're going to be joined by Kobe Fleener a little later on the program. Former tight end in the National Football League is going to join us. A six-year NFL vet. Former Saints and Colts tight end. He's going to join us. We'll break down all the divisional games that we saw over the course of the weekend. Former Stanford star as well will join us a little later on the program, coming up in the third and final hour. Andrew's here, first time this morning.
Oh,
what's up,
wow,
buddy?
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's me over here. Hey,
how
Taz,
are you,
good
pal?
To see you. Good moment to you, Moose.
Good moment
how
there,
are you,
Jobber. How
happy
are you?
Manic Monday.
All right.
So the Nick Foles magic alive and well in New Orleans yesterday for about 10 minutes.
Second down and two, under center at the New Orleans 37. Snap, spin, fakes the handoff. Now throws an arching spiral pass down the near side. He's got his receiver. Jordan over the shoulder, catch of the five to the goal line. Touchdown!
That's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Foles out of a one-yard TD run as the Eagles quiet to the Superdome, up 14-0 after 10-plus minutes yesterday. They didn't score again, though, although they did try late.
Foles takes the snap again. He steps up. He lets it fly, and it is intercepted. It is intercepted. It is picked off and going back with the football to the 34-yard line. The Saints have it. It is Marshawn and Lattimore, and that may be the game.
Oh, it was. Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio. Foles' pass went right through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey, right to Lattimore for his second pick of the game. The Saints surviving 2014 to host the Rams in the NFC title game at noon Pacific on Sunday. The Patriots and Chiefs follow from Arrowhead. New England laid waste to the Chargers yesterday, scoring on their first four possessions, eventually leading 35-7 at halftime, then 41-14 in the fourth. Three of their touchdowns came from running back Sony Michel.
We want to drive the ball. We want to keep the ball, keep the possession. And I think we did a good job of that. And guys just kind of stayed focused and kept executing.
The 41-28 final puts the Pats in the AFC title game for the eighth year in a row, 13th time overall under Belichick and Brady. Both championship games are regular season rematches. The Pats beat the Chiefs 43-40 in Foxborough in week 6. The Saints outscored the Rams in NOLA in week 9. Today's the deadline for underclassmen to declare for the NFL draft, which means it's kind of decision day for Kyler Murray. The Heisman Trophy winner reportedly met yesterday with A's officials and an MLB marketing rep. He might have, but maybe didn't, asked for $15 million from those A's to stick with baseball. Meanwhile, Manny Machado said to have an 8-year offer from the White Sox, but is still talking to the Phillies as well. Those Phils, the clear frontrunners now for Bryce Harper after a Vegas meeting on Saturday. That according to USA Today.
5 hours.
Mm. How about that?
Yeah, there's a good chance that's happening. You meet with 5 hours? To the Phillies. I hope not, but it's probably going to happen.
Well, the Nats seem to be out now.
Right.
After their six-hour meeting with them over Christmas weekend.
Yeah, and best of luck, by the way, to Machado as a White Sox, if that happens.
He wants to maximize his value.
Good
now, there's been different reports. Some say 8, as you just mentioned. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, said it's only a 7-year deal. They haven't offered an 8th year, so I don't know exactly where that's at. There's some discrepancy in the reports in terms of the Kyler Murray story as well. Some say he asked for $15 million. Some say in the meeting that he had yesterday, he and his representatives, that he didn't ask for $15 million. So
and I've seen
I don't know
why,
exactly where the hell the truth is, but he's going to look for more money from the Athletics.
Well, and then I saw dudes posting screenshots of like the MLB CBA that would lead you to believe that they can't do anything
well,
else financially, but now they can somehow.
Well, they're looking to try and change that, which makes sense for Major League Baseball because and Kenny Rosenthal sent out a tweet yesterday, which makes perfect sense. You want to keep great players and talented athletes in your sport.
Yeah.
It would be I don't know what Kyler Murray is going to be as a baseball player. We all saw what he is as a football player. I didn't watch much Oklahoma baseball, to be honest with you.
Right.
And everyone looks.
That's okay, Moose.
And everybody looks good on a highlight reel.
Right.
So,
everybody does.
Yeah, everybody looks good on a highlight reel. So he looked great in the highlight reel I saw, but I didn't watch Kyler Murray. Play 180 innings of baseball over the course of a season. But I will say this for him is that for Major League Baseball, why not change the rules in order to make sure and give the Athletics an opportunity to give him more money to prevent him from going to the National Football League? Because if you're baseball, you need stars.
Right, you do. And
you need great athletes.
This,
you need players.
And
it would
this
be
guy's
a
both of those. Yeah,
right.
To your point. You're right.
And
Kyler Murray.
I mean, that would be so short-sighted for baseball if they didn't adjust the rules and allow. And this is an outlier. This is a perfect storm. Nobody anticipated him having this kind of a year at Oklahoma. you know, and winning the Heisman Trophy. People thought he would be good. No one thought he'd be the best college quarterback in America, and that's what he played out to be. So keep him in the sport that he just got drafted by. Keep him in Major League Baseball.
If that's true that he did X, that his people, him, you know, if he's utilizing his leverage to that degree, asking for $15 million from the A's, that, I mean, that's, I mean, I can understand why him and his people and his family would do that, you know, because, you know, if you have the leverage, use it. I get it, but geez, that's a tough look. I mean, that's,
yeah, I'm with you. I might be short-sighted, but if I walk in and he did go, I want 15 mil, I might have just packed up and left. Like, I want him to play baseball because he wants to play baseball, not because I outbid the NFL machine.
I know somebody that go ahead, Moose.
What would then be an okay number to ask for then?
Nothing. No, the 4 points they already gave him.
They did their thing. There's nothing. It's just that there's no. If once you start using your leverage like that, and you're a college athlete currently, it's just a tough look. It's tough on the rest of the clubhouse when you come in. It's just, and if he goes to single A ball, it's like, you know, it's, forget it. It's just, it's a really, you know, because they're gonna, that's where he would probably start out with the snappers. Yeah, I mean, but you know, but, it's just, you know, it's just a tough look, man.
I don't know. I guess I don't look at it that way, because I think all players then would say, if they were in a similar scenario, there would be precedent set for future guys.
Yeah, that's nice for those guys to say, like as a sentence. But when you're grinding in the locker, in a clubhouse, and on the road in single A or double A or triple A ball, or you're a major leaguer that's trying to crack the lineup or what have you, or you're dealing with an injury, and then this kid comes in who hasn't played an inning, you know, of professional baseball, and he's demanding because of his football ability. 15 million. I'm not saying, you know, he's a horrible person or his family or his people are horrible to use his leverage, if this is a true story.
Well, he is asking for more money. I don't know.
We don't know if it's $15 million. That's
well,
all.
Well, I don't know. But you and Andrew seem to think that even if he's asking for $1 million more, you'd have an issue.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I wouldn't say
maybe my
more.
Opinion,
I mean,
would change with the dollar figure.
Yeah, like 15's a lot.
And this is not just a simple negotiation. Like, now I'm trying to figure out, like, where his motivation is for his career. Like, is this going to be the end of football flirtation, or is he going to have regret about not playing football?
If you're going to give him $15 million, there's going to be a language that you're going to be playing baseball. You're not going to be playing football.
Right. Absolutely. Maybe there would have to be language anymore. In there to protect the A's.
Clearly, they're not going to go play at Oklahoma again in the next fall, but like in 18 months, if he goes, you know, never mind, I got to go.
Well, I would deem it the fact of you're turning your, if I'm giving him $15 million, I'm not giving him $15 million unless he's basically like, I'm done with football.
Right, and they're not giving him $15 million tomorrow. It would be, you know, they're not gonna, it's not going to be a one, I would assume, right. It's going to be a big blank check.
We always talk about guys using leverage and celebrating that, and I don't have an issue with guys trying to make as much money as he possibly can, and if it's $8, $10, $12 million more that he can get from the Oakland Athletics to use that football leverage, I personally don't have an issue with it.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, Moose. I'm just saying I think it could really irk a lot of guys. You gotta travel the road with every day as a baseball player.
Not if it works.
Well, no, even that. You're going to be, it's just a tough look to deal with the guys you deal with every day. And I do agree with AB just said. I do think it is a thing of, well, where is your loyalty? If your loyalty is on a dollar figure, because the A's, you know, cut them whatever it was, $4 million and change, a little north of $4 million, you know, to sign with them and they have the rights to him and all this jazz. You know, that's a pretty nice offer to a kid. Was he a junior at Oklahoma? I think he's a junior. That's a pretty nice offer to a kid who's 20 years old, 21 years old. That's who hasn't played an inning of professional baseball on any level. So, you know, now if this is true and he wants 15 mil, it's like, well, where's your importance? You know, I was just going to say, I know somebody without naming names who just recently went to Vince McMahon, a wrestler, had a money offer from somebody else and said, I want, this is what I'm being offered. It was somewhere around $4 million. This is what I'm being offered. Pay me more and I'll sign with you. Vince can afford the $4 million, and this guy is worth the $4 million. Vince said to him, best of luck to you. It's been great doing business with you. Bye-bye. See ya. That's okay. How business guys do business. If you use the leverage on them, and I would think crossing sports is even worse. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, why would crossing sports be worse?
I just think because you're looking to go on a, like, what sport is your passion in, to AB's point? Where is your passion? You know, that's right. The thing. And I think if you're the owner of the A's or one of the brass, you're like, well, what's the deal here?
Right. I'm not concerned with, like, bus rides and the guys thinking he's, like, you know, some trust fund baby kind of thing. Like, I just, the business stuff, I think players normally put aside because they would do the same thing in that situation. I'm just thinking, if I'm the A's and I want this kid to be my center fielder in 3 years, and here we are again. I just gave him 4.6. I let him go play football.
But the circumstances have now changed.
Right, but still, and now he's coming back again, and he needs me to, like, buy him back in. I just want to know where his heart – I would prefer him to go, listen, I'm a baseball. I just want to play baseball.
Right.
I'm not going to the highest bidder.
Well, wait a second. If you mean to tell me if you have the opportunity to make more money, you're going to say, nah, I'm good?
No. I'm not arguing against the overall.
I mean, because I
point.
Find that hard to. I find it hard. I think anybody would be like, I want to. If you have leverage to leverage.
I'm not saying don't use your leverage. You should use your leverage, but that doesn't mean as the other side of the table, I should just accept
you don't
your
have
leverage.
To accept it, but the A's are obviously accepting it. They're excited about what he potentially could bring to the organization. They're trying to change Major League Baseball rules to give him more money.
I understand that, and to get him to be what I want him to be, he needs to be fully in on baseball.
Right.
He's fully in on baseball,
that he'd be fully in on baseball.
But you can't control his emotions.
That's right.
With a contract.
Moose.
I can't control a lot of things with a contract because he can't go play football if he signs the contract.
No, but you can't. Listen, Moose, when I say you can, it's a thing where you want someone to be all in. You want them to be all there is business, there is language and contracts that makes people do things, but you want to know his passion is in baseball. Well, I mean, it's not like, well, listen, maybe he's making the A's an offer that he knows they won't do, so then it's the heat's not on him not to play baseball. It's like, well, I told the A's I'd want this kind of money. They didn't want to give me, so you know what? I have no option. I got to go play football. Maybe he's making the A's make his decision for him by offering.
Maybe he's, by the fact of him going back to the A's, he's showing that he's passionate about baseball.
If you give me more money.
If you give me $15 million, yeah.
But it's a case of him using the leverage.
He
earned it.
No. He earned it, but he also earned
everything that's coming into his way.
But they negotiated.
He did not hand him anything. He earned it by his talent, athletic ability.
He earned $15 million draft out of.
But they also didn't have to let him go play football again.
No, but that was something they allowed him to do. Or else he probably wouldn't have signed that contract
. They mutually got to that point. He went and played, and things changed.
Right,
and
everything circumstances do change. And listen, I don't know what his passion is, but I do think that he's going back to the drawing board. I don't think if he gets the money from the Oakland Athletics, uses his leverage, whatever more amount of money he is, he's going to be like, nah, I'm going to go to football now. I think he's going to be a baseball player then.
Could be. I think there's such a thing as you have leverage, you use your leverage, just don't abuse your leverage. And I think that's kind of where, I don't want to speak for AB, I think him and I are on the same page in this, where it seems like this kid could, if this is all true, that he could be potentially abusing his leverage. I know I've seen guys abuse their leverage, and it backfires. I'm just telling you, it backfires.
Well, but he's got potentially to be a first-round draft choice in the National Football League, and he still has got the $4.6 million in the back pocket that he already got from the A's.
Right. Okay.
So it's
but he has to give that money back, though.
If he goes to the NFL, if not, I mean, even if he gets $4 million more from the Oakland Athletics, it's found money. It's money that if he didn't go back to them, he would never have gotten. They're looking to adjust the rules so that the A's can give him more money.
Right.
I mean, I hope everybody, I'm rooting for the athletes more so than I'm rooting for the billionaire owners. So,
no, so am I.
I mean, like,
I agree.
I'd rather have Kyler Murray make the money than a guy add a couple extra zeros into his bank account.
No argument on that.
I mean,
if
he can use it, I think it would be also set a tone for every other two sports star out there that potentially, and down the line, and these are rare occurrences, I get it. But maybe this situation comes up again. So if he can get $15 million, God bless. Go get $15 million from the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
I agree with you. There would probably be guys that are going to be jealous when he's playing single-A baseball and he's driving around in a Ferrari? I don't disagree with you.
No, probably
you guys
own bus.
Don't be bothered by that.
For the Belote snappers, and he's got
right.
a, you know, he's got like a Maserati and a Lamborghini.
Right. He's net jetting between games on the bus.
Right, with
the,
exactly. Yeah,
with the turtle logo on it.
Right.
They're
interviewing him after the game,
snapper.
And he's drinking Cristal.
All the guys are drinking like
right.
Schlitz.
Right.
Great brand, by the way.
Right.
One can, they're sharing.
Right. He's like, would you like a glass? I don't disagree. See, I think that would bother a lot of guys. I'm not denying that.
Yeah, no.
Would you like your warm towel now, Mr. Murray?
Mr. Murray, yeah.
It's like he's got his own towel warm.
Traveling locker room.
Right,
he's not going to dress in the clubhouse with the guy.
Right, exactly right.
It's like a trailer that's right. just, you know, plushed out. You
Tyler,
know what I mean?
Let's show us to your personal locker room.
For the snappers.
I would bother guys. I agree with you.
Yeah, no, it would. But you know what? Yeah, if the kid can make the money, I
but
got it.
But for baseball, though, it does make sense for them. You got to keep great athletes in the sport.
You have to keep great athletes in the sport.
And he's a great athlete. And if this is what it's going to take him to commit to baseball, then so be it. Give him extra money. Now, I don't know how this does end up. They might reach a point in negotiations where he says, that's not good enough. I'm going to go play in the National Football League. And that's fine. And I agree with you. We've discussed it before. What's his passion? You got to follow your passion. I don't know. You and I don't know Kyler Murray from a hole in the wall.
Right.
So we've got, and I don't know if he, you know, he's outwardly going to come out and say, well, baseball's my passion or football's my passion. I did hear him during the football season when he was asked about Oklahoma saying, well, my future's in baseball. But obviously that all changed with the year that he had and the fact that he won the Heisman Trophy winner. And he's a Heisman Trophy winner. And he got a first round grade. So if you get a first round grade, that's a, you know, a 4-year guaranteed contract. That's money coming your way.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see. Today's the deadline, right? You said on the guys for the
today is the deadline.
Yeah. So I guess we'll find out. You know,
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
In short order here.
Yeah, I predict my opinion. I don't think he's gonna play baseball. I think he's gonna go in the NFL draft. You? What do you think? Your gut. What's your gut tell you?
Probably go. My gut. I think he gets more money. He stays and plays baseball.
Really? All right, we're opposite. UAB.
I'm going with you, Tez. Team Tez.
All football. Right, Mike. What do you think?
We over.
I think he is in the NFL next season.
So you agree with me? That's what you had to say. And Pete,
NFL.
There you go. Right, no problem.
So take
Moose
that, Moose.
The only one. Yeah, take that, Moose. No, Moose is the only one to feel.
I really could be right,
Moose. You could be. I just know this man. I just feel like by him and his people saying any kind of noise like this that they want to amp up and amplify the money, it's kind of him saying, I want to play football. Make me an offer that I have to refuse, type thing. You know, I've done it, or it could be a guy looking for just to make more money. Yeah,
that he wants to play baseball, but
it could be.
It'd be is his business. You know, his support staff is saying, "Well, you'd be silly not to use your leverage to try and get more money from the Athletics."
He goes to the NFL, right? Goes in the draft, right? You know, and whatever the Giants draft him, right? New York Giants. What could be his first big contract? Give me a number. What do you think? Just for hits and games.
I don't know. You got to look at where the slot system is. I forget what the sixth overall pick is.
If he was the Giant pick, I think it'd be somewhere between like 20 and 24 mil.
There you go.
So more than what he has right now.
Yeah. So if you're looking for 15 mil. Play for the A's, you know. I think this guy's paying.
Well, it'd be on top of the $4.6 million, right?
Yeah. So I mean, that's true.
So, it would
if he even asked for 15,
that's a good point.
Well, there's been conflicting
right,
reports.
Right. He might not have asked.
Jeff Passan from ESPN said they didn't talk about money at all.
But wouldn't that be your starting point? Like, wouldn't you be trying to get them to match what your first rookie contract would be in the NFL?
Right. We also have to look at. I mean, guys have had first round grades. He's a 5'8" quarterback.
Right.
Well, that's the other thing. That's
he's a 5'8" quarterback.
That's the other thing. You know, you got to see.
I mean,
there's
a lot that I know that worked at Oklahoma. I get it. People had reservations about Baker Mayfield's height, and he's almost a full 4 inches taller than him. So,
yeah.
I mean that is a concern. That is a problem when you look at Kyler Murray. But we'll see. We'll see where he is and what he does. Ultimately, do decide.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a good convo. See what happens. He's got some good options.
He does.
I mean?
Yes,
the kid's got some good options. God bless him.
Nothing else matters.
What are we doing,
Andy? Yeah.
That's it. It's all done.
We'll come back.
That went well.
We'll talk a little Pats and Chargers. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio, toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
You know, I got to tell you, so I saw this thing on, I was watching the pregame of the Patriots and the Chargers, and the pregame was more exciting than the actual game, but I digress. So anyway, what happens is, you might have saw, I knew you were busy yesterday, but I tweeted out this clip of, the two quarterbacks warming up before the game, and then one of the referees walks over to Tom Brady, gives him a hug, says hello to him. So I tweeted out the video of that, and I just basically just simply said, ha ha, you know, and a lot of people got the joke. It was just a joke,
right?
Like the Patriots, you know, the fix is in, which I was joking. But then you get, like, the people that don't get the joke on social media, you know, and I'm sure you have to have this happen to you. And it's just like, you know, it's like, yeah, but you're ignoring the clips of Rivers doing the same thing when he said hello to the quarterback. You know, oh, you think that, because you hate the Pats. You think that he's cheating. No! I thought it was funny. That's all. I just thought it was funny. That's it. That's it. I didn't mean it. It's a joke, Moose. It was a joke.
Yeah, it's a great joke.
Thank you. I mean, really, this is why now I tweet in all caps. Because whenever you see me tweet, you have to assume that I'm friggin' furious.
Oh, okay.
That's my new thing.
Right. Oh, there. Very nice. Very good. Well, I'm glad you got that reaction on social media. So that's what you were doing, reacting to people, reacting to your
tweet? No, I didn't do that. I noticed it now during the break of our show.
Well, that's not true.
No, it actually is. No, I'm not kidding. But, like,
I'm joking around with you. It was a joke.
I'm a little hypersensitive right now.
I know, relax. It was a joke.
I gotta calm down.
It was a joke.
It's already Monday. I'm already flaring like a pack of hemorrhoids.
You're about like those, you're like the Twitter trolls.
No, I'm, dude.
You are. A little bit. No, you're already a little sensitive.
I'm a lot of things I'm not. No, because I can reply to some of these
people. No, it's great.
But
a lot of them get a reaction of all sorts.
You know, it says, well, that's the thing. You know?
And the Pats went out there and kicked the Chargers rear end.
But ignore the clips of Rivers doing the same thing. Don't watch football if you think it's fake. You know what? Kiss my grits. Shut up. Exactly. Marks. You know what I mean?
Well, so. you're jealous of the Pats.
No.
The Patriots yesterday.
I mean, picked them to win the game.
No, I know you did.
I knew they were going to win.
I know, but not like that.
No. Nobody,
I mean, the eighth.
Nobody
figured
that.
To reach, and we'll get more into it at the top of the hour because we're almost flat out of time here.
Oh,
closing
are we?
Out this hour. Yes.
Oh, we're very busy.
But their brilliance is just amazing.
And, it's unbelievable.
And Brady and Belichick and what they're able to accomplish. We'll get into Gus Bradley and the seven defensive back alignment. They continued to roll out there yesterday where – there was little to no adjustment until the game was over, which made no sense. But, Brady and Belichick, who now, you know, no Gordon, and it's just Edelman and James White catching the football. Gronk is shot as compared to where he once was. And Sony Michel running the football. He was as good yesterday, and Romo made the statement at the end of the game. It was as good as you've seen Tom Brady throw the football in quite some time, and he's dead on correct. Coming off a year in which he didn't look good against the Buffalo Bills at home, and I thought it was a really bad game with him throwing the football. Yesterday he was downright brilliant.
He's motivated, bro.
And he set the motivation.
He's mad.
He's ticked off and he's mad, but physically I thought there were some regressions this year, and there was no regression yesterday, at least for that game.
No.
There was none whatsoever. And
he was drinking the Hulk juice.
They go to the conference title game for the eighth straight year.
It's nauseating.
It is an unbelievable accomplishment that you'll probably never, ever see again in your lifetime. You'll never see another organization go to eight straight conference title games. It's remarkable. It really is. We'll get more into it. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.